I have to tell you, one of the joys of working downtown Chicago, and that is all you need to know. You work downtown Chicago, lucky you. But if you are like us, 18 stories up with a showcase studio with wraparound windows and walls, you get to see the beautiful city down below. And the view from where I broadcast every day overlooks the Chicago River. And if I look to my right, to the east, I see parts of the lake and Navy Pier, and I can follow the river almost down to the curve. If I look to my left, that's the view. It means I get to watch the tour boats go up and down all of the time. And last year, that was a lot of fun. And the year before, well, certainly the year before it was. I'm trying to remember now what our view of those tour boats was last year. Well, I remember we'd see the boats go by, but with very few people on them. Now we've got another spring and summer coming up. So what does that mean? What's the deal this year? We'll talk about that in about 35 minutes. We start, though, on the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. This is John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer with Mark Hamrick. He is the Washington Bureau Chief and a senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Have you done the riverboat tour downtown Chicago ever, Mark?
No, John. When you were teasing that, I mean, it immediately grabbed my attention. I would love, love, love to do that next time I get to Chicago.
One of the tour magazines or websites, it wasn't Expedia, but something like that, ranked the top 10 tourist activities or destinations in the world, and our riverboat tour was number 2. I mean, like the pyramids and the Eiffel Tower, they're all in there, but you take through the canyon of steel and concrete and lovely architecture we have, a riverboat tour, it's really one of the great joys of being in Chicago.
That's a spectacular idea. I love it.
Yeah. Do we love what you've got for us today? The jobs numbers for February, pretty good, right?
Well, just don't mistake the message for the messenger or vice versa. But no, I think that the news on the job market is better than expected. And I also feel like we're in a situation where we are absolutely have a voracious appetite for news, which is encouraging. It may not be indicative of where we want to be. But whether it's the delivery of vaccines or the pandemic seeming to recede or the job market seeing some restoration, we're in a better place. So we had 379,000 jobs added on the month. We lost nearly 100,000 in government, most of those state and local governments. So the private payrolls piece was actually better, 465,000. But there's still about 10 million Americans who are unemployed. And so you couple that with the roughly 13 million who are either working part-time would like to have full-time work or those who have exited the labor force but would like to have a job, then you get above 20 million. So, you know, it takes a long time to get to 20 million on 379,000 a month. Having said that, I fully expect that we'll see this only ramp up in the months ahead as the vaccines do their thing and then we all get back to doing the thing that we did before.
Are you critical of the rate? Should government or business or somebody done something differently?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I wish I had chosen my parents, but, you know, at this point, that is
yeah.
a moot point.
Yeah,
right. You know, you know, certainly history will look back on this experience and pinpoint all kinds of things that could have been done differently, including having been prepared for a pandemic. But that is the meal that we were served. But, you know, at this point, you know, obviously the Senate's working through the stimulus legislation. No matter how one feels about that, either it's going to pass or it isn't. And that will probably help to lift the trajectory of this recovery. But obviously, there is going to be some significant long-term scarring of individuals' personal finances and communities and some things that will be very slow to come back, such as business travel. But in the meantime, I think that I want to hold on to the optimistic tone of this to say, you know, with everything that's sort of coming together right now, we have reasons to be optimistic truly a springtime in America.
Yeah. Well, and not to be political, although I guess this is, but does the administration get credit for this or are they not doing enough, is I think what I was alluding to. I want you to talk about the Dow, which is, I think, up a couple hundred points now. We'll check on that here in just a second. And let's just talk about where the jobs are coming back from. We're visiting with Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and Mark Hamrick is visiting with us. He's from Bankrate.com. He is the Washington Bureau Chief and a Senior Economic Analyst for there. Mark, just what do you say about the policies that the administration has enacted? Does Team Biden get to take some credit for this rebound, or maybe it's not robust enough and they should have been doing things differently?
Well, it's interesting, John. You know, I think, first of all, they're talking these numbers down a little bit right now because they're trying to make the case for the stimulus package. It's a bizarre situation. If it had been the Trump White House, they'd say the economy's, you know, like a rocket. And they'd point to the estimates for first quarter GDP from the Federal Reserve Banks of Atlanta and New York ranging between 8.6 annualized to 10%, which would be quite stellar if those materialized. Listen, I think Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has it right when he says the most important measure that can be taken, put into effect for the economy is getting the vaccinations out. And I think right now it looks like they're getting good grades on beefing up that supply, which we need desperately. You know, I mean, you know, maybe we'll get the availability of sufficient supply by the end of May, but I would be great if it could be, you know, next week. So that's number one. And then if this package passes, whether people love it or don't love it, that's going to have a beneficial impact on the economy. And so after that, then they're going to quickly shift to from cyclical or short-term economic concerns to longer-term, and that's going to be about infrastructure and essentially policies meant to capitalize on opportunities with respect to climate change.
But if it, with respect to the first part of that statement, that still means more spending. So nobody's talking about $32 trillion in debt then, are they?
Well, yes, they are. But maybe the voice isn't as amplified as might otherwise be the case. And the reality is, you know, I think I may have used this phraseology before, but, you know, Republican sensitivity to that issue seems to be seasonal. Seeming to be quite heightened when there's a Democrat in office.
And maybe that works both ways, but the party's ideologies has seemed to switch since the pandemic hit. The Republicans were very interested in spending. Lord knows the last president wanted to build bigger than the one that they're going to get. And actually, I don't know that anybody's been arguing the other side, but at least it was interesting to see how willing the Republicans were to do deficit spending. Granted, in a time of crisis, but still, that's just not the usual voice that you hear from that side.
Yeah, and obviously both within the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and essentially you have two parties within both, right? You have the Trump Party and the traditional Republicans on the GOP side, and in the Democratic Party you have sort of the Joe Biden moderate camp and the progressives, and you know, sort of a hyper-political version of Family Feud sometimes. But I feel like these attentions will come back around. The Congressional Budget Office released a report in the last 24 hours talking about the potential impacts of rising debt and deficits. And when financial markets start to pay a greater notice to that, then perhaps it'll take on some greater political urgency, which does need to be tackled.
I wonder what would happen then to things like interest rates or inflation or job growth.
Well, that's the worry, right? Because if you have 50% of the federal budget being eventually dedicated to paying interest, then that's so many things that you can't afford to pay for. So this is why we would love for elected officials to do what Americans have been doing recently, by the way, based on one of our recent bank rate surveys, and that is prioritizing emergency savings and paying down debt.
Yeah, that's been kind of funny and has sort of backlashed or whiplashed, backfired. That is, so in other words, you give people stimulus money to stimulate the economy, and what they do is pay down debt and save, which is what we've always wanted them to do, except right now. Now we'd rather you actually put the money back into the economy. The sectors at which the growth has been greatest, according to this February report, is leisure and hospitality, if I'm reading it right. Am I?
Right.
And,
yes.
Which, boy, if you had to pick a spot, you would hope that that was it. So that's maybe the brightest part of this report, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right. And about three quarters of that was bars and restaurants. We lost, I think, 86,000 jobs at state and local governments. And that's one of the things that this legislation intends to get to. And also, we had a bit of a chill in construction. And U.S. manufacturing, despite some of the indices that we watch, didn't really produce a lot of jobs in this report, but maybe that'll improve in the months ahead. So there are positive takeaways from this report, and I think it's reasonable to assume as we all get back to trying to resume some of the things that we have avoided and previously took for granted, like travel or just going to our favorite establishments that may have either been closed down or restricted, or we restricted ourselves. I think that that will filter on through the economy, and then it's going to be sort of a dartboard contest here on trying to pick where the unemployment rate may be by the end of the year, having recently been, as of this latest reading, at 6.2%.
What do you think it'll be?
Well, I think it'll be in the fives, without any question. That is it closer to 5.0, or do we get into 4.9? But absolutely fives, and, you know, maybe if we say an extra prayer and watch our behavior, maybe we can get into the 4% range.
You said construction is off. I thought they couldn't build homes fast enough. How is it that construction is lagging?
Well, residential construction is important, but so is commercial, and so is government spending. And so we have the residential piece taken care of, although that may have been hit by the cold winter weather also in the month. And that, you know, tends to be more volatile hiring because of a lot of it isn't necessarily part-time. But, you know, commercial real estate's going to be in for a little bit of a rocky road here. And as governments across the board are watching their spending, if indeed they do, and we'll see what happens with infrastructure, that may be another part that isn't going to be rocking and rolling.
Dow's been up pretty nicely today. We didn't know that it was going to be like that when the markets opened. We're up 250 last I looked. I'm reading here that Peloton and Zoom have fallen, which maybe is a kind of optimistic look at the future. We won't need to be inside on our bicycles or inside doing Zoom meetings. So Peloton's off 19 and Zoom is off 14%. What else are you seeing in the market today?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because some people are sort of saying the Fed should take notice of what's happening in the markets. And I'm thinking the Fed probably likes what's happening in the markets as long as it's orderly and doesn't cause some systemic problem, because we're seeing some of the air coming out of these really high flying, so previously sort of thought of as growth stocks and technology stocks and the work and stay at home stocks. And if you get money flowing into some of the more traditionally economically correlated stocks, that would make good sense. And nothing here really seems crazy to me going on in the markets, but the volatility obviously can be unsettling for some people, which is why, you know, we don't want to be day traders, despite those who might have had success with their Reddit or cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wonder what the opposite then of the stay-at-home stock is. That is, if the air's coming out of those, I wonder what's about to go back up. Where would be a good place to invest a little, because we think the economy is going to go back?
Well, I'll go back to our bank rate Market Maven survey that we did in the fourth quarter, and we're getting ready to throw another one out there for their responses, which are professional investors. And that was to look for really the focus to move from growth to value. So you look at the areas that have maybe been more forlorn or forgotten, and not necessarily to bet on the high flyers like the big tech stocks, which I think over the long term will continue to do fine. But, you know, that's why we love index investing, John. And that is, you know, try to take some of the cyclicality out of it and just be in it for the long term. If that's good enough for Warren Buffett, it's, you know, darn tootin' good enough for me.
I was talking earlier on the radio today about how next week is the week 1 year ago that the market fell apart, and there were four days, Monday to Monday, you know this, where the market fell 2,000 to 3,000 points per day. 2,000 points, 1,800 points, 2,300 points, 3,000 points. The air just left your lungs. You just did not know. And I think of that because you talk about if you're just an index value investor, a consistent investor, a dollar cost investor, you got that money back. In fact, you may have made money because of that.
It's exactly why I didn't do a thing, you know, in terms of my own personal savings or investing. I get these questions even within my own household and my son. And I'll say, you know, until something radically changes, I don't personally, just for my money, our money, I don't see any reason to change anything. And, you know, conditions change. Some people might like a target dated fund for mutual fund investing because that's correlated to when you expect to need the money or retire. But, you know, the main thing is, John, I try to remind this even to some of my friends who are closer to my age or, you know, more senior, is it's not just when you're retiring. You know, Lord willing, you're going to live a number of decades past that. So you're going to still need to beat inflation over time.
A friend of mine said that to me. Do you think the market's going to be better in 10 years, in 20 years? I said, yeah. He said, well, then shut up. You don't need to time it right now. Although I certainly understand the impulse to pull some money out now and put it, I don't know, in a mattress. That's about all you got. But you must think that this market, if not inflated, is maybe due for some sort of a correction. Do you?
Or just the money moves around. You know, we don't need to have a broad pullback per se, although over time that will certainly happen. I would say for most people, you know, focus on your retirement, long-term savings. If you have some funny money that you want to play with, that's fine. Just be prepared to lose it all. And so if you want to define how much you're willing to lose, in other words, that set amount that you can afford to lose it all, that's fine. Go ahead and do whatever, you know, you want to do with that. But retirement savings is not to be played around with. And that's why we have, you know, bank rate surveys have found the number one financial regret over time is the failure to save for retirement, failure to save for emergencies.
Mark Hamrick is the Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, we'll visit again. Thanks for your time today.
My great pleasure, John. Thanks so much. Take care.
John Williams here. Happy, it's not St. Patrick's Day yet. We're in the midst of Lent, though. On a phone line is Bill Nevruz. He is the executive partner of Quality Crab and Oyster Bar, Shaw's Crab House, and Crab Cellar. And I want to make sure I get this one right, too. Hey, Bill, are you there? Are you ready to walk me through this last one?
Yeah, John, I'm here.
Tokyo Pub?
Tokyo Pub, yeah.
T-O-K-I-O, shawscrabhouse.com/Chicago. And, of course, Let Us Entertain You's website is leye.com. How's business, Bill?
It's getting better every day. Getting better every day.
You guys have a special coming up. Let's just start with that, and then we'll talk a little bit more big picture stuff in just a couple of minutes. But since it's Lent, what are you guys doing over there?
Well, you know, Lent is it's a great time to be in the seafood business during Lent. And we have some really good stuff on our menu that people can enjoy. Two of my favorites are a miso glazed salmon dish and a Parmesan crusted cod dish that are just they're set up to like kind of welcome spring with the ingredients that we're putting with them and let you eat fish on Fridays.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll give the addresses of these places. We're talking Hubbard Street and Halsted in Chicago, as well as Higgins Road in Schaumburg, Quality Crab and Oyster Bar, and then Shaw's Crab House, and then Shaw's Crab House also in Schaumburg. What has business been like since last March? How have you guys been hanging on?
Well, I mean, we're like everybody else. We are doing what we can. It's been a wild ride for sure, from sudden starts to sudden stops. As we start to open up a little bit and we start to get that feeling, a feeling of spring in the air. And, you know, I heard the weather update in the break of temperatures of 50s and 60s on the horizon. It definitely is good news. We're able to open up our windows and our garage doors to our restaurants, and I think we have a bright summer ahead of us.
Is this the way we remember it? So in March, say February, everything was great last year. March, everything started to slow down, and then they shut everything down. In the summer, mm-hmm. It started to get better, but then come November, they shut it back down again. Now we're into the following March and things are opening back up again. That's kind of been the up and down for you, right?
That's, it's a perfect account. And with little twists and turns in all of those up and downs of, you know, it's confusing for us all. You can't keep track of the restrictions and what you can and cannot do. And it's confusing for us. And I can't imagine how confusing it is for our guests that they don't know where they can and cannot go. And, And we're just happy to be on the upside right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how hard it would be to staff that too. Not only for the employees to know if they've got work, but then for you to say, okay, everybody jump in the kitchen. Now everybody get out of the kitchen. Everybody go to the tables. No, actually, we're not going to work next month. It must have been a little bit of that too for you guys.
And look, I can tell you that, you know, it's a perfect day to bring this up because it is National Employee Day. And I have the greatest employees in the world, and they have been so flexible and such hardworking people this last year that I couldn't imagine have done it without them.
Yeah, we're talking to Bill Nevruz, who's the executive partner of Quality Crab and Oyster Bar, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got these Lent specials. Are those new to the menu? Were those not there a month or two ago?
Yeah, we've added some of them in. The crispy cod sandwich is a new one, and the Parmesan crusted cod is a brand new one. We've always had a salmon on the menu, but this particular style with bok choy and shiitake mushrooms really just it feels like a springy dish. So we changed it for Lent for that reason.
How are people making reservations? I don't know if you can walk in and hope to get a seat. What do people do now?
Yeah, I think that people are doing both. Just you know, and everybody is at a different place of have they been in total quarantine in their life? Have they been going out? Have they not gone out since summertime? So we get a little bit of everything. We encourage people to make reservations, but as our seating capacity increases, we're able to take more walk-ins on a weekly basis. So you know, come on out and grab a table. We're happy to make room as long as we're following the rules that have been put in front of us. And, you know, pretty soon we'll be able to get patios going again, which gives us even more space for people to dine.
Well, it seems like we just broke the patios and tents down because we extended that season so long in November, December, the weather was good. But you're probably going to do that in the spring where you might not have otherwise, right?
Yeah. And, you know, if there's a silver lining, which is hard to find in all this, I think there's some cities that embrace outdoor dining more than others. And I think that Chicago is full throttle outdoor dining lovers at this point. And I think that whenever you can eat outside and enjoy the weather, that's a great thing. So whether you're eating outside in a patio or in an open window and just getting the sights and sounds, I think it's nice. Chicago is such a beautiful city.
That is the truest thing. I don't think this city understood that until it was forced upon us. And then you went, wow. I mean, I've seen people in the wintertime with their jackets, hats, and scarves on drinking cold beer sitting outside because they wanted to be having a restaurant experience or bar experience, and being outside was worth it to them. Let's do that 12 months of the year, or 10 if we can. Does the city help you enough on this, or what do we need to change? Do laws, ordinances, does anything need to change to make it easier for you guys to operate that way?
I mean, I think that the bottom line is that you want to do as a business what's best for the neighborhood that you're in. And I think that sometimes there are general rules that the city or the state apply that don't necessarily apply to every neighborhood. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that if your neighborhood really wants the restaurant to have sidewalk cafes, then the city should allow it. And the more that we can integrate into the needs of the neighborhood, the better.
I think I've touched a nerve here. And isn't part of the resistance in the past been from the restaurants themselves? They didn't want, say, a pushcart vendor to cut into their business. So we've sort of protected indoor dining as much as we can. But if it's the indoors coming outdoors, who do you need me to call? I'll sacrifice a little sidewalk space for you guys.
Yeah. Well, and hey, listen, I'm not one of those that believe that we should overly restrict any of those businesses. I think that the more fun stuff you have in a neighborhood, whether it be food trucks or restaurants, the more people will come to that neighborhood, and a rising tide lifts all boats.
Well, that's well put. Bill Nevruz is the executive partner of a bunch of restaurants. So where should we go to make reservations or find out more? LEYE.com, would that be the best way?
Yeah, you can get there, and then you can click on whatever restaurant you'd like to make a reservation and go right into each website. make the reservation directly. Of course, you can always do it the old-fashioned way and call the restaurant.
Yeah.
Either way makes us happy, as long as you you come on in and enjoy yourselves.
I'll see you this weekend. I'll give you all my money.
Well, we appreciate it and love to have you in.
Thanks, Bill. And by the way, it won't take all of it. It's 12:44 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is WGN. By the way, speaking of coming in and doing the city right, how about one of those riverboat tours that go up and down the Chicago River? We'll talk to one of the operators and tell you how you can do that, and you can. First, let's continue with the business news, and here is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Boeing has approached a group of banks seeking a new $4 billion revolving line of credit. The move comes as the plane maker deals with the ongoing slowdown in commercial air travel because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Back in January, Boeing's chief financial officer discussed raising more debt and said the company had sufficient liquidity but was considering all options to strengthen its balance sheet. The logistics tech firm Project 44 has acquired a German company that helps businesses monitor shipments being transported across the ocean. The Chicago-based firm is buying Ocean Insights, a company that provides tracking of containers in real time. Ocean Insights clients include 50 shipping lines, 700 seaports, and 5,000 vessels. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Stace Weislogel joins us now. We were talking about your chance to come downtown and do some things like eat. Let's talk about taking one of those tours on one of the boats on the river. ShorelineSightseeing.com is the website. Stace is the operations manager at Shoreline Sightseeing. Thanks for joining us, Stace. How are you today?
Hey, John. I don't know what it's like over there on your side of the river, but here at our 401 North Michigan dock, it's sunny and about 50 degrees.
You know what? I think I mentioned earlier I'm 18 stories up and looking down at the river. I think I can. I might be able to see your boat from where I am. Wave to me, Stace, and I'll wave back.
Is that the handsome gentleman in the window there?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Oh, shoot. It's Pete.
Gotcha.
It's my producer. It's the other guy.
Oh.
Let's talk a little bit about your business. Are you guys up and running starting last weekend, right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, we were out until January 10th, and then we had a six-week break, and the river turned into a giant ice cube for the month of February.
Yeah.
And the weather broke just in time, and we were able to get out last Saturday. So we're operating in all 12 calendar months of the year.
ShorelineSightseeing.com. Now, there's a number of boats and a number of different kinds of boat tours you can take. We're visiting with the folks from Shoreline Sightseeing. So which are your boats? Where do they go?
People most often recognize our boats as the red, white, and blue tour boats that leave from either our dock here at Michigan Avenue or at Navy Pier. And then we also have our classic lake tour that leaves from Navy Pier. And then in the summer, the red, white, and blue water taxis between the aquarium and Union Station, Willis Tower, Navy Pier, Michigan Avenue, all those spots. So when everything's up and running, we'll go from one boat operating today to over 20 boats.
The water taxi was my favorite way to get to work. I would take the Metra into downtown Union Station, grab the water taxi, and then take it over to where by the Apple Store. Or actually, it was just on the other side of the Michigan Avenue Bridge. We'd get off there. I think you can get off on either stop. But
yeah, when you guys were back here in the plaza. Yeah, exactly.
It has such a great cosmopolitan feel when you're taking the boat to work. So are the water taxis running then too?
No, we're on a slow ramp up here coming off of COVID. So, the demand is for the architecture tours. So whether it's the locals who are, coming down for the weekend or the increasing number of visitors we're getting in, architecture tour is usually the first chop that people want to take. And as it gets warmer, that's when the lake tours and the water taxis will become more popular.
How many people can you put on the boat? Do you have a kind of 50% restriction there as well? How does that work?
Yeah, it actually works out being even less than that. So we're at a fraction of our normal percentage with distancing. The good thing is our open air vessels, we have the ultimate air handler in that, on an open air vessel that's constantly moving. So between that and distancing and masking, we and People understand at this point. People are compliant, and they know that to do this, that's what they got to do.
Do I wear a mask then, even if I'm on the top deck of the boat?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
And then those tours are 40 minutes long, is that right?
That's the lake tour. Our architectural tours are 75. Right now we're in our winter season of mode where we only do a 60-minute tour because it is nice, but, you know, at some point people can get a little chilly if they're not dressed properly. So come April, we'll go back to 75 minutes on the river covering all three branches.
Going to get close to 60 this weekend, so go to shorelinesightseeing.com. Or do the people have a chance if they just walk up? Is there going to be availabilities?
There is, but, you know, I think going to the web page and hitting buy tickets right now, John, is the safest way to go because, again, with our limited capacity, we're much more apt to sell out now than on a normal March weekend. So yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, you don't want to come all the way downtown and wish you had made reservations when you realize the boat is sold out. And I want your boat to sell out. And if all things continue to progress, then more tours and maybe more capacity on the boats as the weather gets warmer, huh?
Yeah, precisely. That we're hoping that this trend continues, and we are, you know, we've got our maintenance team and everybody is standing by, and everything's poised to launch full speed once we're able.
Yeah. It's going to be one of the great, you know, I think we all have these little milestones of when is the city back, and when we see the boats like yours going up and down the river with people in there, we're going to say, okay, here we come. So I want you to know, not only as passengers, where are we rooting for you, but as a city, I think it's a great sign. So good luck to you guys, Stace.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's our pleasure to be able to do this and to share the city with everyone.
Stace Weiss-Logel is the operations manager, Shoreline Sightseeing, shorelinesightseeing.com.